Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Have they been selected in accordance with the canons of this church? And do you believe their manner of life to be suitable to the exercise of this ministry?
We certify to you that they have satisfied the requirements of the canons, and we believe them qualified for this order.
Will you be loyal to the doctrine, discipline, and worship of Christ as this church has received them? And will you, in accordance with the canons of this church, obey your bishop and other ministers who may have authority over you and your work?
I am willing and ready to do so, and I solemnly declare that I do believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and to contain all things necessary to salvation. And I do solemnly engage to conform to the doctrine, discipline, and worship of the Episcopal Church.
Dear friends in Christ, you know the importance of this ministry and the weight of your responsibility in presenting Christopher James Capaldo and Amy Austin Slater for ordination to the sacred priesthood. Therefore, if any of you know any impediment or crime because of which we should not proceed, come forward now and make it known. Is it your will that Christopher and Amy be ordained priests?
Yes.
Will you uphold them in this ministry?
We will.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Persevere to the end. We pray to you, O Lord.
adorned with all Christian virtues, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one, as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the mission of the Church, that in faithful witness and may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who do not yet believe, and for those who have lost their faith, that they may receive the light of the gospel, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a blessing upon all human labor and for the right use of the riches of creation, that the world may be free from poverty, famine, and disaster, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For ourselves, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to amend our lives, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died in the communion of your Church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed John, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole Church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The Gospel of the Lord.
It's a real honor and a blessing for me to be invited to preach at your ordination service. But I have to confess that I was a little surprised when Bishop Howard asked me to preach today. Many of my brother and sister presbyters have many more years of ordained experience than I do, and some, like Father Tony, I'm sure, are much more eloquent. But be that as it may, I am glad to be here. It was only 9 years ago that I was sitting right there where you are, excited and nervous and wondering, "God, are you sure you know what you're doing?" And any of you who were around then will remember that, to put it mildly, those were rather challenging times for our church and for our diocese. Someone has referred to those days as the time of great unpleasantness. And there were seven of us who were to be ordained at that time, and we had to go before the standing committee one last time. And I was asked by one of the members of the committee how I felt about being ordained into a church that was embroiled in so much controversy, and what I thought about beginning my ministry in a diocese that was threatened and under attack and being pushed and pulled in a variety of different ways. My answer was given with all the bravado that I could muster, because I certainly didn't know what lay ahead for our diocese, for our church, and certainly for my own ministry. But I told the questioner that I could not imagine a more exciting time to be ordained as a priest into the Episcopal Church and to begin my ministry in the Diocese of Florida. And I meant what I said that day. And although I had no idea what I was getting myself into, I found that this calling, because it is a calling, it's not just a profession, has been far more exciting, far more challenging, far more rewarding, and certainly more fulfilling than I could possibly have imagined. So, Chris and Amy, although some of the challenges may be different than they were 9 years ago, it's still an exciting time to be an Episcopalian. And it's still an exciting time to be ordained an Episcopal priest. And I believe that you will find, as I have found, that it's still an exciting and a wonderful and a blessed time to be able to serve in the Diocese of Florida. For the past several years, you have been on what the church calls a journey of discernment. And it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? The process seemed endless. You had to endure physical exams and psychological exams just to assure that you were mentally and physically fit for the job. You learned a whole new set of acronyms. You had to meet with the COM and your CDC before you could take your GREs and go to seminary. And then you had to survive CPE and your GOEs before you got your MDIV. You learned a lot of new information about a lot of new subjects. Hermeneutics, homiletics, liturgics. I'm sure you learned at least enough Greek to be able to strategically drop an occasional Greek word into your Sunday morning homily. And you learned how to write a very succinct Ember Day letter to your bishop. In short, your journey of discernment has provided you with many of the resources and tools necessary as you begin this grand adventure of ordained ministry. The Book of Common Prayer states that your ministry is to represent Christ and His church, particularly as pastor to the people, to share with the bishop in the overseeing of the church, to proclaim the gospel, to administer the sacraments, and to bless and declare and pardon in the name of God. And to live into that kind of ministry, you will soon discover that you will be called to wear many different hats and keep many different balls in the air simultaneously. You will have many roles to play and many expectations placed upon you. You will be seen as a preacher, a teacher, a social worker, a fundraiser, an administrator, evangelist, a prophet, a community organizer, pastoral care provider, probably an occasional plumber or mechanic thrown in there somewhere. You know, I think we priests have a tendency sometimes to get a little full of ourselves and think that it's all up to us to make God's presence known to our congregation. That's not only egotistical, it's just plain bad theology. Our job, your job, is to point people towards God and to equip people for the work of ministry. Jesus says in today's gospel, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Amy, you and Chris, and all the roles that you will play, all the hats that you will have to wear, all the situations that you will find yourself in as you live out this wonderful vocation of priestly minister, never lose sight of and never lose the heart for pointing others towards the Lord of the harvest. Never lose sight of pointing people to the Lord of the harvest and preparing them to go into the world to the ministries to which they are called. That is your calling. That is your ministry. To point others to the risen Christ and to equip others to become pointers. To equip others to reveal God's love and compassion and forgiveness and mercy. Now, I am one of the most untechy and inept computer people in the world. My wife or my parish administrator will both attest to this fact. I thought birds only tweeted. And I thought that Control-Alt-Delete sounds like something the quarterback does to audible at the line of scrimmage. I've been told that the only person that's as computer challenged as I am in the diocese is our beloved bishop. Just kidding, sir. But challenged as I am, I've occasionally found myself in the position to have to do a PowerPoint presentation. Now, a little disclaimer here. I always have to have somebody else put the program together for me. My job has just been to present the information. And what I like most about doing a PowerPoint presentation is this nifty little red pointer. It's a little light I get to use. And with the light, I can stand aside and point to the diagrams and charts. I can put a little red beam of light on the things that I want my audience to understand in order that they can benefit from the information and that they can take that information and use it in your own lives. Chris, you and Amy are to become laser pointers. Your job is to point others in order that they may see Christ, in order that they may understand and be equipped to do the work of representing Christ to the world. You know, you might have thought that you'd taken your final test to become ordained, but you still have one more examination to complete. In a few moments, Bishop Howard will ask you some questions, and he will preface these questions with a series of tasks that you as ordained ministers of Christ's church are to perform: proclaiming the gospel, loving and serving all the people among whom you will work, preaching and administering the sacraments. And he will conclude with these words: in all that you do, you are to nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace and strengthen them to glorify God in this life and in the life to come. I take those words to mean that in all those varied tasks that you as a priest will be called on to perform, your ministry is ultimately to point others to the risen, life-transforming Word of Jesus Christ. You are here this evening because in a very profound, grace-filled way, you have been called to point others to Christ. You are gifts of God for the people of God. A laser pointer is a tremendous tool for showing important information and for highlighting crucial data. But the laser itself isn't the information. It isn't the data. It only points to and helps people see what is important. So the little device really isn't much value of itself. Its value, its only purpose, is to point something away from itself. And we priest pointers need to remember that sometimes. There's a small label on the pointer that says danger. Avoid direct eye exposure. There's a temptation as priests to sometimes have the light focused on us. And while today we certainly celebrate and give thanks to God that he's called the two of you to be ordained into the holy order of priests, Ultimately, this ministry is not about you. Your role is not to be the good shepherd, but rather to point others to the good shepherd. There's one more thing about this little laser pointer. It's absolutely worthless without its source of power. It cannot perform its function. It cannot point to anything if its battery's dead. The call to ordained ministry is an incredible and awesome gift from God. It's a wondrous and joyous vocation to which you are entering. But it's also difficult and tiring and demanding and even messy sometimes. It can seem overwhelming. Remember from where your strength comes. God is the battery that gives you the ability to do His work. Never forget the source of your power and your strength. Remember daily to say your prayers as if your life depended on it, because guess what? It does. Remember to find time to keep the Sabbath. It probably isn't going to be on a Sunday, but if God found it necessary to rest from His labors, surely we must too. Take your ministry more seriously and yourselves a little less so. And remember to keep a sense of humor. As the TV commercial says, kids, don't try this home alone. Know that you're not alone. You have your bishop with whom you share his ministry. You have your fellow clergy. Get to know and to share in the lives of your fellow presbyters. They're going through many of the same joys and struggles as you will experience. And I have found them to be an immeasurable blessing and help. You're surrounded by your fellow baptized Christians who are also ministers of the church. Don't become isolated and think it's all up to you. Chris, you have, and Amy have been called as Isaiah to minister to a hurting world that desperately needs to know and to experience love and forgiveness and mercy and compassion. What you are about to be given is one of the greatest gifts you will ever receive. Amy and Chris, please stand up. Chris, Amy, I charge you both to receive the gift and become a pointer to Christ. Receive the gift and let your ministry, let your entire lives become powerful beams that reveal Christ to the world. Receive the gift and let your life and your love be a reflection of God's life and God's love to all those for whom you serve. The young, the old, the sick, and the lonely. Receive the gift and remember who you are and whose you are. Receive the gift and remember that you're not alone. Receive the gift and remember the source that sustains you and that empowers you in your ministry. Receive the gift. Give thanks and rejoice. Receive the gift. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My sister and brother, the church is the family of God, the body of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. All baptized people are called to make Christ known as Savior and Lord, and to share in the renewing of his world. Now you are called to work as a pastor, priest, and teacher, together with your bishop and fellow presbyters, and to take your share in the councils of the church. As a priest, it will be your task to proclaim by word and deed the gospel of Jesus Christ and to fashion your life in accordance with its precepts. You are to love and serve the people among whom you work, caring alike for young and old, strong and weak, rich and poor. You are to preach, to declare God's forgiveness to penitent sinners, to pronounce God's blessing, to share in the administration of holy baptism and in the celebration of the mysteries of Christ's body and blood, and to perform the other ministrations entrusted to you. In all that you do, you are to nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace and strengthen them to glorify God in this life and in the life to come. My sister and brother, do you believe that you are truly called by God and his church to this priesthood?
I believe I am so called.
Do you now, in the presence of the church, commit yourself to this trust and responsibility?
I do.
Will you respect and be guided by the pastoral direction and leadership of your bishop?
I will.
Will you be diligent in the reading and study of the Holy Scriptures, and in seeking the knowledge of such things as may make you a stronger and more able minister of Christ?
I will.
Will you endeavor so to minister the Word of God and the sacraments of the New Covenant that the reconciling love of Christ may be known and received?
I will.
Will you undertake to be a faithful pastor to all whom you are called to serve, laboring together with them and your fellow ministers to build up the family of God?
I will.
Will you do your best to perform your life and to pattern your life and that of your family in accordance with the teachings of Christ so that you may be a wholesome example to your people?
I will.
Will you persevere in prayer both in public and in private, asking God's grace both for yourself and for others, offering all your labors to God through the mediation of Jesus Christ and in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit?
I will.
May the Lord, who has given you the will to do these things, give you the grace and power to perform them.
Amen.
Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire. Thou the anointing Spirit art. Thy blessed unction from above. Enable with perpetual light anoint and cheer our soiled face keep far our foes give peace at home teach us to know the Father, Son. That through the ages all along, praise to thy eternal merit, God and Father of all, we praise you for your infinite love in calling us to be a holy people in the kingdom of your Son, Jesus our Lord, who is the image of your eternal and invisible glory, the firstborn among many brethren, and the head of the church. We thank you that by his death he has overcome death, and having ascended into heaven, has poured his gifts abundantly upon your people, making some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry and the building up of his body. Therefore, Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, give your Holy Spirit to Christopher, fill him with grace and power, and make him a priest in your church. Therefore, Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, give your Holy Spirit to Amy, fill her with grace and power, and make her a priest in your church. May they exalt you, O Lord, in the midst of your people, offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you, boldly proclaim the gospel of salvation, and rightly administer the sacraments of the new covenant. Make them faithful pastors, patient teachers, and wise counselors. Grant that in all things they may serve without reproach, so that your people may be strengthened and your name glorified in all the world. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Christopher, receive this as the sign of the authority given to you to preach the Word of God and to administer His holy sacraments. Do not forget the trust committed to you as a priest of the Church of God. Amy, receive this as the sign of the authority given to you to preach the Word of God and to administer His holy sacraments. Do not forget the trust committed to you as a priest of the Church of God. My beloved brothers and sisters, please greet the two newest priests of the Anglican Communion and of the Episcopal Church. And may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The Lord's peace be with you, Father. The Lord's peace be with you, Mother Amy. God bless you. Of Father Chris and Mother Amy is also an important event in the life of the whole church. These two outstanding individuals have been well prepared and nurtured for the role that they are assuming in the church. Father Chris is going to be out at St. Peter's in Fernandina for a while, working there with Father Stephen Mazingo and that wonderful congregation. Mother Amy will be our first full-time chaplain at the University of North Florida. The official spiritual head of the Osprey-Palians. And both of these individuals in the positions they will be in give all of us great cause for rejoicing. A reception will follow immediately afterwards in the parish hall. Please join us there to meet and greet and speak with these two. Our offering tonight is designated for their discretionary funds. And I have known and worked with both of them now for many, many years, and I know them both to be very discreet. I know you to be very generous. So please give in support of their ministries and the need which they will have in those ministries for discretionary funds to assist others. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name, bring offerings, and come into his courts.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through the great shepherd of your flock, Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection sent forth his apostles to preach the gospel and to teach all nations, and promised to be with them always, even to the end of the ages. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen to sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for feeding us with the holy food of the body and blood of your Son, and for uniting us through him in the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for raising up among us faithful servants for the ministry of your word and sacraments. We pray that Christopher and Amy may be to us effective examples in word and action, in love and patience, and in holiness of life. Grant that we with them may serve you now and always rejoice in your glory, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty be upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia.